Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's the smart guy. 34 after. It's good to be with you. It's good to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Welcome to the party. Charles W. Cadillac is our guest and our good friend. He's Chuck's longtime member of our Brain Trust and just an outstanding resource for us. He's the author of the incredible book, Dow 100,000, Fact or Fiction. He is president of Seligman Advisors and recently got a promotion to that assignment, and we're really proud of him. Chuck, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back.
It's good to have you back. Congratulations on your promotion.
Well, thank you very much. It was it's an honor and a privilege to have been promoted to president of Seligman Advisors. It's the distribution company for our family of mutual funds. So
right.
It's a whole new set of challenges and a whole new set of opportunities. And I haven't had this much fun coming to work in a long time.
It's fun when you're around people who are selling things, isn't it?
I love salespeople. And one of my goals actually is to have that sales culture, strong sales culture, permeate the entire organization, because it's such a positive entrepreneurial culture that to the extent I can plant it in the marketing side and in our corporate communications area, I'm working hard at that.
Well, the reason you love salesmen is because we're so huggable. We're so lovable. We're cuddly and warm and fuzzy and all that.
That's your story.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's exactly
okay,
right.
Good enough.
Hey, Chuck, what do you think about the current and the near-term meaning 05 conditions of the U.S. economy? What's your take on it?
I think it's good. Not great. Certainly not bad. I'd give it, B- to a B, I think.
Really?
And here's why I say that. First of all, it's no doubt the economy has slowed, growing nearly at 5% to around 3%. But if we remember correctly, in the middle 90s, Alan Greenspan said that the economy couldn't grow more than 3%.
Right.
And now we're complaining that it's growing only 3%.
He was wringing his hands. He was getting dizzy at what we were doing at 3.5%, wasn't it?
That's exactly right. So 3%, 3.5% growth, that's the long-term average growth. That's a good growth rate. Creates jobs. Unemployment rates will typically come down with that kind of a growth. Secondly, the world economy is doing very well, mm-hmm. and that's important to us. China is creating steel jobs in the United States because it's absorbed all excess steel capacity in the world.
Right.
It impacts us not only directly through the trade account, but in many indirect ways as well. The fact that Japan is doing better is good for it's a major export market for us. The fact that Europe continues to struggle but getting marginally better is a positive for us. I mean, imagine how difficult the recession would have been if China had been growing at 0% instead of 9% a year. It would have been a lot tougher. China last year, by the way, ran a trade deficit with the rest of the world, imported more than it exported. So
a lot of people don't know that, do they?
No, they only look at the one side of the abundance of goods and services we can buy at very competitive prices.
And China's trade deficit is good news for us, isn't it? Just like our trade deficit is good news for them.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't want to get too fixated on the trade deficits, but what it tells you is that China is a contributor to the world economy on both sides. Sure, it's producing $450 billion worth of exports, but it also imported roughly the same amount.
And they've only just begun to become a consumer economy, haven't they?
That's right. That's right. So there's a lot of growth potential ahead, and I'm actually I think we've made significant progress on one of the great risks in the outlook, which is the war on terror and problems in the Middle East. Obviously, it was a long way to go and way too early to even talk about being a mission being accomplished. But we also have to acknowledge when progress is made, significant progress has been made both in Israel and Palestinian situations.
We've got to like
Iraq,
the trend, don't we?
Over the last month. The trend is definitely a lot better than it was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. A lot better than it was 3 years
who,
ago.
You know, I predicted 2 or 3 years ago that there would be rampant capitalism in China before there'd be peace in Palestine. But, you know, I didn't take one thing into consideration. I didn't think about the fact that Yasser Arafat wasn't going to live forever.
And
he's now gone to wherever he's gone. Yeah. So then this year I predicted that because of the progress in Iraq, because of his death, I actually predicted that there would be the origins of real peace in Palestine this year.
Good call. And I think we have to give the president part of the credit. No, he's the one who made the strategic decision to basically freeze Arafat out.
Right.
Which made it possible for Abbas then to be elected.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people may not like it, but the Bush doctrine is working. 2012, we're going to be right back with our good friend Chuck Cadillac, the author of Dow 100,000 Factor Fiction and the president of Seligman Advisors. Stay with us.
Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back at 17 till. Chuck Cadillac is our guest. And Chuck, guess what? This is our 6th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
How about happy anniversary to you, baby?
Thanks.
It's good to have you. Good to have you back, and it's great to have you as a member of our Brain Trust, and it's been a great 6 years, and we thank you for the time and the great information that you provided us over the last 6 years.
Well, I just hope I've contributed in some way to your audience and to their ability to achieve their goals for their businesses.
In many ways, you have. One of the things I want to come back to. I want to put some of the economic numbers that we're getting now in perspective a little bit. You know. It looks like 2004 is going to wind up being, what, 4.4% growth? Something
a little
like
above,
that?
Yep.
And if you think about that, 2004 was really the first solid recovery year after 3 pretty tough years. So we had a lot of catching up to do. We had a lot of catching up. We had maybe a little bit of exuberance because things were a little bit better. We got a little pricing power. But we also had, I mean, imagine what could have happened, what the year would have been like if oil prices hadn't gone up as much as they did.
Oh, it would have been north of 5% growth.
We would have had to give an Alan Greenspan a Prozac. Right?
And, might have been something stupid.
I actually predicted that 2004 would be at 5%, but I didn't predict the oil thing.
Yeah, I remember that, actually.
And so anyway,
I was on your side on that one, by the way. I thought you were going to be right.
Well, and you know what? Notwithstanding oil, we would have been right. But never mind that. The thing is, though, is with the oil prices, I've also predicted this year that we're not going to get a break in oil. It's going to stay pretty high. But the thing is that even with that, we're probably going to be looking at mid threes this year. And how solid is that to come off of a year like 2004, come back with a good solid year in 2005? I mean, this is, don't you think that the marketplace, that businesses in the marketplace are operating more fundamentally than they have in a long time?
Yes, and I think there's several important reasons for that. One is that the Fed has, in fact, done a pretty good job at stabilizing the price level. Now, I was concerned when gold was at $250 an ounce because it told me there would be deflationary pressure.
Right.
That was the story of 2001 and 2002.
Right.
I began to become very optimistic in early 2003, if you remember, as Mr. Greenspan talked about deflation, and we saw the price of gold go up, which said the Fed was finally supplying enough liquidity or dollars relative to the world demand for dollars to stop the deflation, the deflationary trap that Japan had fallen in. But then when gold went over $400 an ounce, I said, you know what, we're going to have a little higher than expected inflation, which we just have, the CPI up over 3%. But what we see now is the price of gold had gone as high as 450, back around 425. Commodity prices in general have also stabilized, maybe down slightly. And that tells me that the Fed has, in fact, pulled back the excess liquidity it was producing, and inflation will be trending down. There's nothing more powerful for a business environment, for being fundamental in business, than having a stable price environment,
right,
because it takes away one of those uncertain things you always have to hedge and worry about.
And it's something that small business owners are not good at.
Well, how could they be? They got to run a business.
That's right.
Why should they be thinking about what the dollar will buy 6 months or a year from now. They should be able to depend that a dollar today will be roughly the same as a dollar 6 months from now or a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a stable price environment is the most important thing the Federal Reserve can do for the U.S. economy.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I know in years past you've been a big complainer about the Fed not really paying attention to that like they should have.
Well, I still am concerned about it. I mean, I always kind of listen to the words but watch the action.
Mm-hmm.
And the summary of the action is the behavior of commodity prices in general. That tells you the balance between the supply and demand
mm-hmm.
for money in the world. Inflation isn't caused by people going to work. It's not caused by small business being successful and causing economic growth, and it's preposterous. Inflation is caused by bad monetary policy, and it's one of those bureaucratic sleight of hands for the monetary authority to blame the American people for inflation or deflation. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it may keep them, you know, in their jobs, but it's a disservice to us, the American people.
Chuck,
having said that, I think you also have to acknowledge when the Fed, however it's getting there, is doing the right thing. Right now they're doing the right thing, and that's positive. That's
right.
A positive.
Well, I think one of the things that's helped them is they started believing their own eyes.
Yeah.
Don't you think so? I mean, I think in the 90s they didn't believe their own eyes. They didn't believe the productivity that they were seeing. And of course, a lot of the numbers in the 90s were kind of wacky, but the productivity wasn't. And I think that's one of the things. And they found some new rules, some new ways of looking at the 21st century economy. I think that's helped them a lot. They quit looking at it in a 20th century way, don't you think?
Clearly that's helped some. I mean, in terms of the productivity gains, we can't measure productivity gains from the technological revolution the way we could for the industrial revolution. Example, you could measure the productivity gain of using a steam shovel instead of having 100 people with a hand shovel. But how do you measure the productivity gain when you don't have to move the dirt at all?
Mm-hmm.
Because of advanced communications. And because we can't measure it, we don't count it.
Right.
So there's many things. Look, if the Fed wants to stabilize the price level, it should target the price level. It shouldn't be concerned about all these other things.
Right.
It should the American economy is big enough to take care of itself if the Fed will just give us a stable price environment.
Right. I agree with you. Going to take a quick break, folks, in just a second. And one of the things I want Chuck to talk to us about when we come back is what he thinks about Mr. Bush's, some of his economic plans, especially privatizing Social Security. Charles is in New York. He works Wall Street every day and keeps up with these things. And I'm going to ask him what he thinks about that idea, how that's going to affect the overall marketplace as well as the market and the 21st century, the century of the entrepreneur. It's 10 till. Here's Chicago to take us out.
Smiling inside, I'm so happy that you love me.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's Robert Cray on guitar, on blues guitar. Charles W. Kadlec is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. His last name is K-A-D-L-E-C, Kadlec. Charles W. is the author of Dow 100,000, Fact or Fiction. And Chuck, before we get into the Mr. Bush's thing, just for a half a minute or so, one of the things you talked about in your book that I really like a lot is something that's called in the peace dividend. And,
right.
You know, In 1945, there were 20 democracies on planet Earth. As of the 30th of January of 2005, there were 120. And we also know that in the history of mankind, no democracy has ever attacked another democracy. That's got to be – we still may not like where we are exactly, but we got to like the trend, don't we?
We have to like the trend. I think the State of the Union speech, in particular, President Bush did an excellent job of talking about the one force that's more powerful than terrorism and fear is freedom.
Right.
And I think it was also important that he said, we don't seek to impose our form of government on other people, but we will stand with those who seek freedom and democracy. So I think we have to be modest, at the same time bold. It's a it's a interesting balance, and I think the President's State of the Union speech was much closer to that balance than he was in his acceptance speech, in the inaugural speech, where he, I thought he didn't temper his remarks quite as much as I would have liked, but I applaud the absolute theme of the importance of the spread of freedom in the world, in, not only in our time, but in generations to come.
And it's important, it was important for him to say, if you seek freedom, we stand with you.
Yes. We underestimate that the power of a declaration, but the most important things leaders do, and every small businessman knows this, is every day they declare what they're going to do in their business, and by implication, what they're not going to do.
Right.
Every time you do that, that's an action. It's an act of leadership. And in that sense, I think the president has been an extremely important leader in the world. And events are proving him to be more right than his critics, especially his harshest critics, have given him credit for.
That's right. I agree with you. And I do believe that there are going to be some peace dividends, as you write about in your book, that are going to help to take the Dow, for example, to come back to your title, the Dow closer to that number that you mentioned. And what was your year for two? It was this century?
2020.
2020.
2020. I think the terrorism has put us back 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But the other things we talked about, you know, the end of the Cold War is important because it ends a state of emergency. But the boomers demanding better policies, we may get choice in Social Security, for example.
Right.
We're getting stable monetary policy. Certainly the technological revolution continues. Spread of freedom, extraordinary, and competition coming to governments everywhere. All of these are the basic building blocks of a great prosperity, and I mean great with a capital G.
Right.
And so great that, in fact, I believe we can do a tenfold increase in the Dow in the next 20 to 25 years.
I think you're right, but I want to ask you what you think the impact of Mr. Bush's privatization, private accounts for Social Security, what kind of an impact would that have on the market and the marketplace?
Well, I have two. First of all, it's more than call it privatization. It really gives people the opportunity to choose how they want to invest their money.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll bring competition to this part, very important part of our retirement system. To the extent that American people choose to have an account they control, then they will have a stake in the American economy, an equity stake in the American economy. In fact, it resolves a Marxian dilemma. The workers will own the means of production in a way that he never could have imagined.
Mr. Bush calls it the ownership society.
The ownership society. So that has two. This is the most powerful effect here is not the demand, the incremental demand for equities. I think that's really almost inconsequential.
Mm-hmm.
The more important effect is this, that financial markets are extremely good at discounting the implications of policies into the present through changes in price. In other words, if you have a if you have a good policy, stock market doesn't wait. It blows up right away.
Right.
If you have a bad policy, it goes down.
Right.
And what this will do is this will influence the political process in the way that the whole idea that we can take from employers and give to employees through government power, well, without, of course, employers, there are no employees.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll make an ownership society will be more friendly to ownership, to property, property rights, to profits, because the people in general will share in all those benefits.
Which
that
leads
is
us
extremely powerful
right.
and positive, not only for our for financial markets, but for our prosperity.
And it really sounds positive for what I call the century of the entrepreneur, the 21st century. Chuck Cadillac, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. The president of Seligman Advisors. Give us your website, Chuck.
Seligman.com, Seligman.com.
Hope you'll check that out. Thanks, Chuck. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.